Hello, everyone. My name is Courtney Lyles, and I am from UCSF, and I wanted to first acknowledge all of my collaborators on this project. I'm going to be also presenting some research, and it's a little bit more focused. It's about food insecurity in the context of diabetes care, and specifically whether or not participants in a diabetes educational intervention who were food insecure were able to make improvements in A1C, diabetes self-efficacy, and nutritional intake. And I think that I can skip over the slide since it's been covered so well, but this is obviously a fairly large problem in the country, and we have focused more in our research on thinking about the links between food insecurity and diabetes. There have been multiple cross-sectional studies that have found that food insecure individuals have a poor glycemic control, so that's a higher average glucose value, so they're controlling their diabetes less well than those who are food secure. And we think there's several potential pathways of why food insecure individuals might be facing poor diabetes control, the obvious being shifting diet away towards fresh fruits and vegetables and more towards less expensive and perhaps calorically more dense food like carbs and foods with added sugars and fats, an unreliable food access that might lead to blood sugar fluctuations, which also might make their glucose control more difficult, and then also a reduction in their self-efficacy or their confidence in their ability to perform their diabetes self-care tasks. And although several cross-sectional studies have examined this, there hasn't, to our knowledge, been a study of a longitudinal assessment of this, so we wanted to, within the context of this intervention, assess the longitudinal relationship between self-reported food insecurity and three outcomes, glycemic control, diabetes self-efficacy, and fruit and vegetable intake. And we hypothesized that food insecure individuals within this intervention might be less likely to be able to improve on all three of these outcomes. So this was an observational analysis conducted within a large trial. It was within nine low-income clinics in Missouri in 2008 and 2009. And I won't get into the specifics of the trial since it's outside the scope of what we analyzed, but basically all three intervention arms in the trial received some type of diabetes self-management support. So all patients were receiving some support with their diabetes self-care, and we were interested in the effects of food insecure individuals within this larger interventional trial. All patients with diabetes who spoke English and had no cognitive or vision or hearing impairments were included, and there were 665 participants in our sample. We used the same screening questions that were presented before, the six-item brief screener for food insecurity, and we examined A1C from the medical record and then self-report of the diabetes self-efficacy score and the self-reported fruit and vegetable intake at baseline and then at one-year follow-up. And we looked at a variety of covariates in this analysis, including age and sex, race and income into three categories, and then obviously which intervention arm the participants were in. And we ran both unadjusted and adjusted analyses examining these associations, and our adjusted analyses were a repeated measures GEE model that I'm happy to talk about if anybody had specific questions. Looking at the sample at baseline, about a third of the sample was food insecure. And when you looked at the sample by food security status, the food secure individuals, the food insecure individuals were younger, less likely to be college educated, with less likely to have higher income, and more likely to be not employed. And then when looking at our outcome measures at baseline, you can see that they were all significantly different, so that the food insecure participants had poor glycemic control, lower self-efficacy, and lower fruit and vegetable intake compared to those who are food secure. And now I'm going to show a series of adjusted graphs that I hope will make the adjusted results easier to visualize. So I'm going to orient you here in this first graph and then show a series of three more that look very similar. So first, in the adjusted model, we looked at that same difference at baseline, the comparison of the food insecure to the food secure at baseline. So in the adjusted model, the food insecure participants had an A1C that was 0.6 percentage points higher than the food secure group. And over time, the food secure group really made no change over that year interventional period in their A1C. But the food insecure group made a significant improvement in their A1C. Their A1C dropped on average by about 0.4 percentage points, which is a clinically pretty relevant decrease in A1C. And the interaction between these two is significant, suggesting that the food insecure group made a significantly greater change, obviously, than the food secure group. And this resulted that when we compared the two groups then at follow-up, although the food insecure group still had a slightly higher hemoglobin A1C, it was smaller in magnitude and statistically no longer significant at follow-up. And we saw a pretty similar pattern with self-efficacy, as the food insecure participants started with poorer self-reported self-efficacy scores. The food secure group made some improvements, but the food insecure group made a significantly greater improvement in their self-efficacy over the course of the year-long trial. And the two groups were still significantly different at follow-up, but again, a smaller difference between the two groups at follow-up than at baseline. And then for fruit intake, again, a similar pattern with both groups making some improvements and the food insecure group making a slightly larger improvement in their fruit intake and no significant difference at follow-up. And then the final outcome was vegetable intake, and really, unfortunately, neither of the groups made a significant or much substantive difference in their vegetable intake over time. And they started different and they ended up slightly different, but these results are, on the scale of things, relatively similar, that the food insecure group still reported lower vegetable intake at follow-up. So this is the first longitudinal analysis of these outcomes that we've seen to date, and we were able, because of the survey data, to examine several of the pathways, not just glycemic control, but also some of the efficacy and nutritional intake values that might be related to these outcomes over time for diabetes patients. And what's interesting is that all patients receive some sort of diabetes self-management support, as I suggested. We can't necessarily link the diabetes support to their improved outcomes, since that wasn't the intent of the trial. The intent of the trial was to test the actual diabetes management support in the three arms. But we think that food insecure participants might be making greater improvements with some self-management support. They started out with poorer outcomes, and they made significantly greater, not just improvements, but significantly greater improvements in these outcomes compared to the food secure participants in this trial. And I think looking forward from this work, the food insecure individuals might be particularly receptive to diabetes self-management interventions, even though the interventions themselves were not targeted towards food security, nutrition, or financial resources issues. The food secure groups seem to make substantial gains in these outcomes regardless. And future work should be really targeted towards examining food insecurity and diabetes and the exact pathways that link those two together, and the specific receptivity among food insecure participants to self-management support. Thanks.